You're listening to an encore presentation of the Weekend Real Estate Report.
You're listening to the Weekend Real Estate Report on 105.7 The Fan.
You do a great job here, giving the audience quite a bit of information. For a lot of guys like me, I'm sure a lot of females have certainly been enlightened and informed to help their life a little bit better. So keep up the good work.
Once again, Carl Delmont.
Hi, we're back. Carl Delmont here with you in the Weekend Real Estate Report. And we are here today with Steve Ford. And a lot of great stories that we've shared in the past hour. And for those of you who might have missed it or catching late, we do podcast this on the website. So if you're interested in that, just shoot us an email. We'll tell you how to get there. By the way, I do have to say a couple things. One, thank you to our sponsors, Fremont Mortgage, NMLS number 1071, 800-955-8508, or Fremont.com. And remember, don't make a 30-year mistake by choosing a wrong lender. Flowers and Fancies. You know what, Steve? I'll keep doing that. Flowers and Fancies, fresh flowers flown in daily. And, of course, Chow Bella, Buffalo Wild Wings, and all our other great sponsors. We couldn't do it without you, so thank you for all that. But I want to get to spend as much time as I can, no disrespect to the sponsors, but get to our guest today, who is calling in from California on his own time, and I do appreciate that. We're talking about a couple of different things. I want to get into some funny stories about life when you were in the White House, because, like you said, you were in your latter years of teenage, and some interesting things that shocked me when we were talking. A couple things were, one, you didn't have the bodyguards and the private schools and all the crazy things going on today. It was just a totally different experience that was going on. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, we did have Secret Service, not to the extent of what they have today. When Dad became president, I was 18 years old. It was August 1974. I just graduated from public high school, T.C. Williams High School in Alexandria, Virginia. And which is actually, if anybody remembers the movie, Remember the Titans, that was the high school I went to.
First met, you mentioned, I asked you about that, and you said you went to T.C. Williams. I'm like, Remember the Titans? You're like, you know that? And I said, well, yeah, when I went to college, we had a bunch of people who were from T.C. Williams, and they were bragging about that whole thing. Now, interesting story. Tell our listeners about your, I guess, closeness with that.
Well, I didn't play on that team. I was captain of the junior varsity team, football team, but I knew a lot of guys that played on the varsity team, and that, you know, the story was true. I remember going through that, and we had a lot of racial tension at that time, and it was 1970, 73, 74, 72, all that time, you know, the country was divided that way, and we had somewhat forced busing in Alexandria between the high schools, and it was a growing experience for all of us. But that's a true story. And I guess we didn't think it was that big a deal, but heck, they made a movie out of it. So I guess it was a big deal. But like I say, when I got out of high school, Dad becomes president. All of a sudden, Carl, I did get 10 Secret Service guys. Now, at 18 years old, that's not really the group you hope to hang out with, I would say that. But, you know, the Obama girls today, because the world is a much more dangerous place, you know, their Secret Service details were probably 20 Secret Service agents, not 10. Our first night, the funny story, like we mentioned earlier, we didn't move into the White House right away. The first 7 days were spent living in our old home in Alexandria, Virginia. But the first night we moved into the White House, I invite my best friend over from grade school, high school, comes over, and we carry my stereo to the roof of the White House. This is, you know, typical 2 18-year-old teenage boys. Carry my stereo up there. We plug it in, and we're playing Led Zeppelin, I think, Stairway to Heaven. It was like Dumb and Dumber on the roof of the White House. Now, you couldn't do that today because of today you got guys up there and dressed in black with, you know, sniper rifles and anti-aircraft guns, but it was a different time back in 1974.
And while you were playing this music, there were actually people going on tours of the White House.
Yeah, there would have been people walking by the front of the White House hearing Led Zeppelin come from the roof of the White House, which might have taken them back a little bit.
Thinking, man, this president's pretty cool.
You know, the other funny story that kind of, you know, makes us all human. Mom and Dad had a big state dinner when the Queen of England came for the bicentennial in 1976, 200-year birthday of America. Big deal, the Queen and Prince Philip come, and they're going to have a state dinner. And it was not only black tie, it was white tie. So it was even fancier. And so Mom and Dad went down to meet the Queen and Prince Philip at the diplomatic entrance. They're all dressed in their white tie, and they're going to take him up to the family quarters for a small little private reception before they go down for the state dinner. So they walk the Queen and Prince Philip to the family elevator to go up from the first floor to the second floor. And what my mother didn't realize was my brother Jack was coming up from the basement. My brother Jack was probably about 21, 22, and he hadn't dressed yet for the dinner. So he's coming up from the basement, and all he has on is a pair of Levi's and no shirt. So here my parents are standing there with the Queen waiting for the elevator door to open. It opens, and my brother Jack is standing there and bare-chested in jeans. And you get, you know, my mother was horrified, obviously. And the Queen looks at my mother and goes, "Don't worry, Betty, I have one of those at home, too." So, you know, we're all families. We all go through a lot of the same things. It's just we did it in a little bit better government housing than most people.
Yeah, I just think it's great to hear that, you know, back then that even though of your dad's occupation and everything that came along with that, you just sounded like pretty much a normal family, just with a little bit, you know, different situation going on. It's comforting to know that things aren't as crazy as they really are right now, with, as you said, a more dangerous world and everything else. Now, you alluded to earlier with, you know, T.C. Williams, Remember the Titans, and the racism and all those other things going on. And, you know, even today's headlines, we hear a lot of things still that in some places we still haven't come that far regarding that one topic. And you shared a story about your dad when he played football. And a lot of people, most people who know anything about your dad, recognize that he was considered probably one of the most athletic presidents in history. But he was on national championship football teams, everything else. But you shared a story that was just so resounding. I want you to share it again with Willis. Is that his name?
Well, it's fascinating because, you know, Chevy Chase made so much money off Dad with the stumbling act and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. You're right. He was a very athletic guy, played on two national championship teams with the University of Michigan. If I had to tell you one story about Dad and who he was, this is the only story I'd ever tell you. And I'm a recovering alcoholic, so I've got 19 years of sobriety, and I do a lot of speaking in prisons and juvenile detention facilities and things like that. And this is always a story I share with young men when I try to talk about character. Dad was played at Michigan, went to Michigan. In those days, in the early 1930s, they didn't have scholarships. You had to pay your own way. His sophomore and junior year, he played on two championship teams. They were 10-0 national champions in 1932 and 33. In 1934, Dad was captain of the team at Michigan. And Michigan had one black player on its team, a guy named Willis Ward, who was a star athlete for the University of Michigan. And in 1934, Michigan was scheduled to play Georgia Tech, which was an all-white school. And they found out that Michigan had one black player on its team. And basically, in those days, when a southern school came to play a northern school, they enacted the old Jim Crow laws, and the northern school would bench their black players and to accommodate the southern schools. Well, Georgia Tech said they would not play the game if Willis Ward, Michigan's black player, suited up for that game. And my dad was so incensed by that. Willis Ward was probably his best friend. They roomed together when the team traveled. And Dad went to Willis Ward and said he was going to quit the Michigan football team to make a stand for his friend Willis Ward. And Willis was very, very touched by that. And told my dad to stay on the team. He would sit down and not play. And now, hundreds of schools were doing this. This was the acceptable behavior back in the 1930s. Dad stayed on the team. Willis Ward sat down for that game. Michigan had come off, like I say, two undefeated seasons. In that season, they went 1-8. They only won one game, lost eight.
Mm-hmm.
The only team they beat was Georgia Tech, 9-2.
And if I remember the story, a little footnote to this, Willis Ward was so fast that he was actually supposed to run the Olympics and decided not to for some reason, and Jesse Owens became famous because he replaced him. Is that correct?
You would know Willis Ward if he had run against Jesse Owens, who was at Ohio State, and he beat Jesse Owens.
Mm-hmm.
And Willis Ward made a decision not to go to the Olympics because he was afraid Hitler would shun him, just like, you know, this game with Georgia Tech. He didn't want to go through that again. He elected not to try to get on the Olympic team. Probably very easily could have. He'd beaten Jesse Owens. Instead, Jesse Owens goes to the Olympics, and you would know Willis Ward if it weren't for that. Willis Ward went on to become a judge in the state of Michigan. He and Dad stayed great friends. The interesting thing about that story is that in the ACC, I think it was almost 1962 before there was ever a black player on the ACC, and the University of Maryland was the first team to have that. So that's 30-some years later. But to me, that one story, and the way I heard it, I'd never really heard the story, and a man came up to me. They had retired Dad's jersey at the University of Michigan, and the man told me that story on the field and said, he asked me a question. He goes, "Do you know what character is?" And I had tears in my eyes. I'd never heard that story about my dad. And he said, "Character's what you do when nobody's looking." And mm-hmm. nobody was looking at your dad's life as a 20-year-old kid at the University of Michigan. So
it is just amazing. Again, 20 years old. This is in the mid to early 30s. And your dad's making a stand that, in some cases, even popular today. So it just, when you told me that, I was like, wow, you know, just resonates even more with me. Just everything you've talked about, the sacrifice of personal gain over what's better for the country, all those other things just goes to prove a lifetime of doing the same thing over and over again is what's right. And like you said, if no one's looking, that's a pure sign of it too. So that's just a great story. You know, we talked about Willis Ward and some of these other things going on, and we talked about quickly, the Butler, the movie coming out. And so this Butler, he served through Truman through, it was Truman through Reagan. So he was obviously there, and you said you do remember him, correct?
Eugene, yeah, he was great. Always had a smile on his face, always very welcoming, and I was happy he didn't turn me in when we took my stereo up to the White House. He would have known about that, and didn't tell on me. I'll never forget our first dinner at the White House, and you know, it's an awkward situation. The staff there, in reality, it's their home. As you know, many of them have been there for four or five different presidential families, and they're there permanently. We come and go. You know, the lease runs out, and there's an election, and you move on. But they're there forever, and it's really their home. And I remember our first dinner, we finally moved in the White House, and everybody, it's a little awkward. Everybody's trying to get a feel for each other, and we're in this big fancy family dining room, and we don't know the staff yet, and they don't know us. And everybody's trying to be on their best behavior, and there was a fireplace in the corner. And we're sitting there, and Dad looked over and saw the fireplace, and he says, "Oh, gosh, our family always loves a good fire. Whenever we go out to Colorado to go skiing, we always, you know, have a good fire and everything." Well, the staff heard that as that was a message from the president to start the fire. And so they went over and very quietly started the fire, but no one realized that it hadn't been used for probably 10 years, and it was backed up.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, we're eating dinner, and smoke is billowing out into the family dining room. And this is our first, you know, first family meal there. And the kids, my sister and I, we're trying to get up from the table and get out of there. And Dad's like, "Sit down," you know. And he's going like, "Oh, we love a good fire." And he's trying to make the staff feel like, you know, they didn't mess up. Mm-hmm. And it was just typical Dad. He's always trying to make somebody feel good about what they're doing.
And the good news is your mom wasn't at the stove.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, God. It was, you know, we were so blessed, Carl. I mean, to participate in such a unique moment in history, like I say, it'll never happen again. You'll hopefully never have a situation where someone becomes president of the United States without going through a general election.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Most places in the world, if you have that kind of transition of power and there's no election, there's usually troops in the streets. Look at the Arab Spring.
Exactly, yeah.
Look at what's going on in Egypt right now. There's troops in the streets. That did not happen in America. It shows you how great our Constitution is, how great the nation is, how great the people are, that we can make that peaceful transition without military intervention.
Yeah, it's changing that, because I want to talk a little bit. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, but what you're going to do is talk about, I think you may be the only son of a president or child of a president who has got into acting in Hollywood. Is that correct?
Probably the only one that made a career out of it. Yeah. I think, you know.
Cameos, have, things like that, yeah.
Yeah, but I made a 30-year career out of it, so yeah, you're probably right.
So I look back, and it's like, okay, so you were at the high school at the time, Remember the Titans came through. You were in the White House when the Butler movie was, you know, partly taking place. And then, of course, the movies you were doing else. There's just a lot of parallels, just things going on. Maybe you were destined to go into that career.
I always told my dad, I said, I became an actor because it was like somebody was paying me for therapy. You know, I got to go play different characters and get away from the pressure of being a president's son, and it was almost like therapy to me.
All right, well, when we come back, let's talk more with Steve Ford about his acting career. Some movies you'll probably remember him in will be Harry Met Sally, Black Hawk Down, and a bunch of others. We're going to get into that when we come back. You're listening to Weekend Real Estate Report. Carl Demont here with you with our guest today, Steve Ford. Thank you for listening. Keep listening. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
The Weekend Real Estate Report will be right back on 105.7 The Fan.